I want to begin today by asking you a question. You may consider this to be a personal question, but it's not designed to be a personal question. It's just to get you thinking for a moment. And you may not know the answer to this question. It may be that it has been so long since you were aware of the answer to this question that it may be that you have forgotten the answer to this question. You may have been secluded. You may have been locked up in your home for so long that maybe you haven't been out in so long that you don't know. You just can't remember the answer to this question. Here's the question. How much gas is in your tank? I mean, it may be that you've been in your house for so long, you really don't remember how much gas is in your tank. You think you might have an idea, but you know, you haven't seen that gauge. And well, you know, you've been practicing social distancing from that gauge for a number of days now. And so, well, how much is really in there? You know, as we would have it, most of us are probably very familiar with our gauge looking like this. Well, some of you say, well, that's below the line. Yes, some of us know how far our car can go below the E. We know how many miles we can go even past that line. Some of us are familiar with this particular image. Some of us are familiar with the idea of running on empty. Well, we might be familiar with the song. At least some of us who were around back then may be familiar with the song, but we're probably more familiar with the reality of being in our cars and running on empty. And nowadays, you seem to be able to get a little bit more for your dollar than you used to. Used to be that you could roll into a gas station and put $2 or $3 in there, and it would last you a while. And those days have passed us, but maybe they're coming back. We know about running on empty. But today, I want us to realize that we not only understand running on empty in our cars, we understand running on empty even in our lives. Sometimes in our lives, we can get worn down and we can get discouraged. Sometimes in our lives, we can feel like the world has just zapped all of the energy out of us and zapped everything out of us, and we feel like we're running on empty. But can I share something with you today? Maybe today you feel like you're running on empty. Maybe for the last couple weeks, maybe for the last month, maybe for the last few years, I don't know. Maybe you feel like you've been running on empty. Can I share with you this morning that that is not God's desire? Are you looking at your screen this morning? Can I share with you this morning that that is not God's desire? God has no desire for you to run on empty. God has every desire for you to be running on full. God doesn't want you to live a discouraged life. God doesn't want you to live through this life being miserable and down all of the time. God didn't save you. He didn't send His Son to die for you. We just sang songs today about how much Jesus has done for us and how well it needs to be with my soul, because my sin, not just a part of it, He took all of it and He bore it on that tree. God doesn't want us to run on empty. God doesn't want us to just be barely making it as a Christian. God wants us running on full. As you think about your life today, where are you? Where is your gauge? Where's your gas gauge? Not in your car. Where is your gauge in your life today? And when we're done with our study today, I hope that your gauge will be on full. And the thing about life is that gauge of our lives, of our spiritual lives, it will continue to waver. But know that God wants it to be on full. And know that God has ways for us to keep it on full. We are emphasizing this month, we're emphasizing this year in this congregation, seeing as God sees. And so we've had some lessons that focus of the month of April. Although we haven't been able to be together, we've still been focusing this month of April on seeing the empty tomb. Last month we talked about seeing the cross of Jesus. This month we've talked about seeing that empty tomb. And so as I thought to So I thought about today, I thought, what do we need to talk about today? You know, our focus this month has been the empty tomb. And so I thought about the fact, well, there's the empty tomb, but God doesn't want us to be empty. That tomb was empty so that we could be full. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I've come that they might have life. Of course he did. He came to give his life so that we could have the Christian life. He came to give his life so that we could have life on this earth. But that's not all Jesus says in John 10 and verse 10. Jesus says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. God wants our lives to be full. And so as I thought about that, as I thought about the fullness that God wants us to have, my attention came to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And I hope you'll turn your Bible there this morning. We're going to be looking at that verse today, Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And there's three things, three simple, fundamental things. Some of these we've already talked about in the last month or so. But three things that God wants to be full in your life. And I hope that we will find ways to keep these things full in our lives. Look in Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, where the Bible says, Now may the God of hope fill you, look at that, fill you with, what's the word you've got? All. God wants you full of all joy. God wants your joy level as a Christian. He wants it to be full. He wants you to be full of all joy. But we know the reality. The reality is that sometimes our gauge isn't always on full. Sometimes the reality is that our joy gauge, if you had one of those gauges, if you could check your joy gauge every once in a while, sometimes it's not always on full. Why is that? What is it that drains us of our joy sometimes? Somebody might say, homework. Homework drains me of my joy. And yes, I don't know anybody that would say that that homework brings their joy gauge all the way to full. But as Christians, not as students, but as Christians, what is it that brings our joy? What is it that drains our joy level? Well, one thing is sin. Sin drains us of our joy. When we cave to sin, it drains us of the joy. And that's just the natural thing. We cannot find Christian joy when we cave to sin. Those two things will not go in the same direction. So Peter talked about the fact that sometimes we will allow ourselves to get entangled in that world again. That we will allow our lives to be entangled by sin again, even when we shouldn't be. In verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 2 talks about the fact that we can even be brought back into bondage to sin. And when we cave, our joy gauge, it's on empty. You know, sometimes, and it goes right along with that, and sometimes our joy gauge, it gets drained when we try to conform to the world. When we try to fit in with everybody else. When we, as Paul talked about in 2 Timothy chapter 2, when we as soldiers allow ourselves to be entangled in the affairs of this life, to be conformed to the things that are going on in this life, and all of a sudden our Christian joy, our level of joy is not where it should be. What drains us of our joy? Sometimes what drains us of our joy is comparing ourselves to others. Comparing where I am to somebody else, and maybe even as a Christian, trying to compare myself as a Christian to somebody else. And I look at somebody else and say, wow, I'm just not the Christian they are. I'm not this. I'm not that. They're better here. And all of a sudden, that comparison can bring our joy level down. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, when you try to compare yourself to others, that's not wise. It brings your joy level down. I don't know what it is. If we were to make a list today of the things that drain your joy as a Christian, what would you put on the list? And so for each of these points, I'm going to put a blank line up there for you to fill in. And you're taking notes, I hope. You've got the PowerPoint you're watching at home, I hope. And as you're taking notes, fill in the blank. Here are three things the Bible says can drain us of our Christian joy, but there are things in your life that drain you of your... What? And so there are things that drain us of our joy, but that's not where God wants us to be. Our God is a loving God. And he is a God that has what I'm going to call today some divine tank filler uppers. All right? It used to be when you'd pull into a gas station, they would have full service. Not self, well, they had self-service sometimes, but they would have full service where you'd pull in and they would have full service to serve you. And sometimes you just pull up and say, fill her up. Well, guess what? God has some divine tank filler uppers. What did Romans chapter 15, verse 13 say? God wants you to be half full of some joy. Boy, that'd be kind of miserable if that was the verse in your Bible, right? Okay, well, God wants me to be, he wants me to be, half full, and there's some other glasses that are half empty. No, God wants us to be filled with all joy. What is there that God has in store, that God has in place for us to fill us up with joy? One thing is his very presence ought to fill us with joy. There's one verse that is found in Psalm 16, and it's quoted in Acts chapter 2 because it's a messianic psalm. It talks about presence that we have and the joy of God. But that's talking about really a messianic prophecy about the joy that Jesus had in the presence of his Father because he did not leave his soul in Hades. But there is a joy that we have because we get to be in the presence of God. God told Moses, he told Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31, that I'll be with you. It's the same promise Jesus makes to us in Matthew 28 and verse 20. The presence of God in our lives, that ought to bring us joy. The very fact that God wants us to be saved from our sins and to think about all that God has done for us. Thank you, Josh, for what you said. When we're trying to commune, we're trying to take our minds back to the cross and to remember that without the body and the blood of Jesus, there's no chance of us being saved. It ought to bring us joy to think about what Jesus did for us, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that Jesus comes down and he dies upon the cross for us, even in the Old Testament. In Psalm 35 and verse 9, the psalmist says, My soul shall be joyful in the Lord and shall rejoice in his salvation. Remember what David said after he had sinned in Psalm 51? Restore unto me, remember we sing it sometimes, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. There's joy to be found in the fact that God has saved us. There's joy to be found in God's people. Now I know what some of you are thinking. I know what some of you cynics are thinking. God's people, no, there's some of them that don't bring me any joy. Okay. Are there any of God's people that do bring us joy? You know, I've been amazed the people who have called to check on me in these past 2 weeks. They didn't have to make that phone call, but they called to see how I was doing. Did that bring me joy? To know that somebody else was thinking about me? They didn't have to do anything. I mean, if they had sent me some great gift, would that have brought me joy? Sure, but it would have been just as much joy as the simple act of calling to check on somebody. There's joy that we have in the family of God. And the passage that's on your screen in Isaiah 35 and verse 10 from the last two was a prophecy about that coming day when there would be joy in God, among God's people, because they would have the salvation that would come to them and they would come to Zion. An expression used in the New Testament to talk about God's church. We ought to find joy in each other. Sometimes our joy gauge can run low. But there's so many things as Christians that ought to bring us joy. And so I'm going to put on your screen again, you add to this list. There's no way, well, maybe if you'd let me preach for a few hours, maybe we could exhaust the list, but we're not going to do that. So you fill in the blank. What is there as a Christian that when your joy gauge is running low, what is there as a Christian that brings you joy? Where the divine filler-upper is there to bring you joy in serving the Lord. As we finish this point, I want to make it practical. We've talked about some things that drain us of our joy. We've talked about some divine tank filler uppers. But I want us to take away from this, what can I do daily What can I do daily to make sure that my joy level remains full? Can I encourage you to do something every day? This is not earth-shattering. This isn't breaking. This isn't, whoa, boy, I've never thought of it. This is obvious. What can I do to make sure my joy stays full? Count your blessings and thank God for them. Every day. Here's a challenge every day. Not a big challenge. But every day, take a moment to make a list of three things that you're thankful for. Three blessings that God has brought into your life. Three things as a Christian that have brought you joy in that day. Make a list of just three. You can do more, but there'll be another day, the next day, and the day after to make even more lists. But just three things where we count our blessings and we thank God for what He's done for us. Romans 15 and verse 13 says that what God wants for me is not to live a miserable life, not to live a life where I'm half full of joy, not to live a life where I'm just sort of barely making it. God wants me to be full of all joy. And He's there to help make that happen. And if I'll actually make a list of things that He's done for me, that will help my joy to remain full. Go back to Romans 15, verse 13. Not only does He want us to be full of all joy, but He says that God is there. May He fill you with all peace. And I know this topic of peace has been one that we've talked about over these last few weeks because it's something that we need to think about, something we desperately need in these times. But you know, there are those times that even when God wants our peace to be full, you know there's some drains on our peace level. There's some things that really can cause our peace level to drop. And as you start to make your list, think about what the Bible says drains us of our peace. You know, probably the thing that drains us of our peace more than anything is just worry. Some of us are professional worriers. Some of us could make a real good living if somebody would pay us for our worrying, because we're just professional. We are great at it. And yet Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't do it. Stop worrying about these things. It's draining us of the peace that He wants us to have. What do we worry about? We worry about circumstances that are completely out of our control. What good does it do to worry about circumstances that are out of our control? If I can't control it, why do I worry about it? Well, because that's all I can do. Since I can't control it, then I can worry about it. At least I'm doing something with it. That doesn't work. That doesn't help. It drains me of my peace. In Judges chapter 6, there was Gideon, and he's hiding out from the Midianites. He's scared of the Midianites, and he says sometimes what we say, why has all of this happened? Sometimes that's us. There's circumstances out of our control, and we say, why has all of this happened? Why is all of this happening to us in this land right now? It's out of our control. It's draining us of our peace. Sometimes just the uncertainty of life. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And since we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, sometimes that drains us of our peace. I don't know what's on your list. And so there's a place here for you to say, here's what drains me of peace that I want to have as a Christian. But we need to realize that that's not where God wants us to be. God doesn't want us running on empty. God doesn't want us running on an eighth or a quarter of a tank of peace. God wants us filled with all peace. I found this interesting as I studied this last week. If you look up in your New Testament, if you were to look in a concordance or look on your Bible software and look up in the New Testament, the God of, and see what the God of and the God of different things that you find in your New Testament. Obviously, you're going to read about God being the God of the heavens and the God of the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. Those are expressions that are used in the New Testament. And then there's different qualities. There's different characteristics. We saw one here in the reading of Romans chapter 15 today. The God of all patience and comfort. We think about God being described as the God of love. There's a number of different qualities and characteristics that are used of God when He's called the God of all grace. But most of those qualities and characteristics, when they're found in that expression, the God of, most of them are only found like one time, maybe two, but usually just one time in the New Testament. There's one expression about God that's used six times. No other quality comes close to it because everything else is down in the one level. Six times in your New Testament, He's called the God of peace. Why don't you let that sink in for a minute? It's here later on in chapter 15. You'll find it. I think it's down in verse 33. You're going to find it again over in chapter 16 of this same book. Six times He's called the God of peace. More than any other quality in the New Testament, the God of peace. And so He has some divine tank filler-uppers. What is it that can fill me up with peace? How about His Word? In Psalm 119, in verse 165, it says, Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. If I'm feeling low, if I'm feeling empty on peace, where can I go? How about to His Word? Where I let His Word dwell within me. Where I let the Word of Christ dwell in me, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, so that I can let the peace of Christ rule in my hearts, in the very verse right before it, in Colossians 3 and verse 16. If my peace level is pretty low, maybe I need to back away and say, how much time am I spending in His Word? What brings us peace? What about God's providence? When you look at Bible characters, and you see all that they went through and the trials that they endured, and we think, how could they have such hearts full of peace? It was because they trusted in the providence of God. They knew that God would work all things together for their good. They didn't know how, they didn't know when, but they knew and they trusted that God would do that. They trusted that if God be for us, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is where everything works. He will work all things together for our good. Verse 31 is where the Bible says, if God's for us, who can be against us? That's the providence of God. And I find it interesting as Paul is dealing with that subject of emphasizing the providence of God, that how does he fortify their trust in the providence of God? But he ends that chapter talking about the love of God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 31. He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. The very next verse. How do I know God is for me? He didn't spare His own Son. He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. He did not spare the very best of heaven for me. Sometimes my level of peace may not be running full. But when I think about the love of God, and not just what the love of God did on the cross in verse 32, but the confidence that we have in the love of God in verse 39, where Paul says, nothing. Can you underscore that word in your heart and in your mind? Nothing. No matter what you think there might be, God says there's nothing that shall be able to separate us from the love of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're a Christian, if you are in Christ Jesus our Lord, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Can that not raise our level of peace? That it doesn't matter what's going on around me. I know there's circumstances that are out of my control. I know there's uncertainty about what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And it's the God who loves me. The God that I can't be separated from His love. I don't know what there is in your life that brings you peace as a Christian, but would you fill in your blank? What is it that in those moments when your heart is troubled, what is it that brings you peace? And it may be His Word. It may be your favorite psalm that you go to and that you meditate upon? Well, that's going to be a part, that's going to be a part of this last point. What do I do daily? There's those things that drain me. There's those divine filler-uppers. But what can I, on a practical level, what can I do daily? What can I do right now to start practicing on a daily level to help keep my peace tank full? Again, this is not earth-shattering news. This isn't, oh, we've come up with something brand new. It's obvious. What can I do to keep my peace tank full? I need to communicate with my God. I need to communicate with my God, to conversate with my God, and when I do that, I need to trust Him. I need to talk to Him, and I need to trust Him. May I challenge you? You may already do more than this, and I'm certain there are some of you who do. But may I challenge you? We had three as the number in the first point. Here's two. Guess what's going to be in the last point? A list of three things to be thankful for every day. How about twice a day? We talk to God. Twice, and that's not to limit it to two. We know that in the Old Testament, we've got Daniel, we've got David. We know they prayed three times. And the Bible in the New Testament tells us to pray without ceasing. But at least two times a day, how about we talk to God? These don't have to be long conversations. Talk to God. And then, don't just have that be a one-way conversation. Talk to God, and then let Him talk to you through His Word. And if you let Him talk to you through His Word twice a day, here's maybe something you could do. Maybe one of those times is your what you might call your daily Bible reading, where maybe you're reading through a section of the Scripture, and maybe it's your paragraph you're reading that day, or your chapter you're reading that day, or your two or three chapters you might be reading that day. And that's your one time where you're letting God talk to you through His Word. But maybe another time in that day, maybe it's right before you go to bed, it's where you read your favorite verse, your favorite passage. Oh, you know it. You could quote it. But you just go and you read that one verse that brings you peace. And you've talked to God twice that day, and you just let Him talk to you twice that day. God doesn't want us running on empty. He wants us running on full. Running full of joy. Come back to Romans 15, verse 13. Running full of peace. And then look at how he says this. Romans 15, verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope," I skipped that quality before on purpose, "may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound, that you may be full," what? "In hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." How is the Holy Spirit going to fill them with power? If you continue reading here, and even if you back up, one of the reasons I had the reading today was from Romans chapter 15, but we included verses 4, 5, and 6 to see how does God operate? How does the God of all patience and comfort in verse 5 give us patience and comfort? Through His Word. And verse 4 that gives us patience and comfort. How does the Holy Spirit operate? How does the Holy Spirit abound us in hope? This context of this says it's through God's Word. But I know sometimes when it comes to our level of hope, sometimes there's some drains on our hope tank. What is it that drains your hope tank? What is it that causes your hope sometimes to not be running on full? Sometimes, perhaps, it's when we look around and see the wicked prospering. Jeremiah did this. Jeremiah chapter 12, he said, why is the way of the wicked prosper? That doesn't, in our terminology, that doesn't seem fair. God, why are they doing so well and I'm not? Maybe sometimes that causes our level of hope to waver. Sometimes our hope tank can be drained by doubt. Or sometimes we allow thoughts creep into our minds to take over our minds. We know better, but yet we allow them in when we shouldn't. In Luke chapter 24, Those two men on the road to Emmaus, they told Jesus, "We had hoped," you hear it? "We had hoped that he was the one." Well, what changed their hopes? Jesus says to them, and four verses later, down in verse 25, he talks to them about the fact that, hang on a second, if that's what your hope was, why are you so foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had to say? They had the evidence for hope, and yet they let their doubt drain them of their hope. What drains us of our hope? Maybe sometimes our hope is drained by the trials that we face in life. I don't know what drains you of your hope. I don't know what there is in your life that causes you to say, just not have that level of fullness of hope all of the time. You fill in the blank. You fill in the blank that says, here's the reason sometimes that I don't have the level of hope that I need to have. But whatever it is, whatever you say, this is what drains me of my hope, realize that there are some divine tank filler uppers where God doesn't want to just, you know, sometimes all you've got in your wallet, all you've got is you can walk in and say, you know, just give me $5 to fill it, to put in my tank. That's not going to fill me up, but it's all I've got. It'll just get me going for this little while. That's not what God wants for you. God wants to fill you up. Not just give you a little bit. He wants to fill you with all hope. This verse says, so that you may abound in hope. What can cause me to abound in hope? How about remembering the resurrection of Jesus? How about remembering that empty tomb? How about remembering that He was raised from the dead? Those two men on the road to Emmaus said, we had hoped that this was the case. And Jesus was the one they were talking to. He had been raised from the dead. He gives us hope. 1 Corinthians 15 says He's the first fruits. The very fact that He has been raised gives us confidence that we also will be raised. We need to put our hope in Him and not allow other things to drain us of our hope. What about the promises of God? The promises of God where He cannot fail. Hebrews 6 and verse 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. But Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 is in the context of what we're talking about here, that God, who cannot lie, promised eternal life even before time began. God can't lie. What did He promise us? Eternal life. Where do I need to put my hope? In that God. And not allow that hope to waver. To know that He has promised that to me, and to know that He has the power to make it happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, Paul talked about the fact that God raised Jesus from the dead, and He will also raise us. And the very last word of that verse is, He'll raise us by His power. Whatever God has promised to do, He's able to do. No matter what's happening to me in this life, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I can't doubt that. I can't doubt what God has done for me. And I should not doubt the hope that He has laid up for me in heaven. I don't know what it is as a Christian that brings you hope, but would you fill in that blank? In those moments when your tank begins to drain, what is it that you focus on as a Christian that brings you hope? What can I do on a daily basis? What can I do every day to keep my hope tank full? What can I do to keep my joy tank full? Three things. I make a list every day. I count my blessings and I thank God for three things every day. What can I do to keep my peace tank full? Two things. I communicate with God and trust Him, and I do that two times every day. What can I do to keep my hope tank full? How about just one thing? One thing. And that is to think about heaven, to contemplate heaven, and to thirst for going there. And if I make a list of three things every day for which I need to be thankful, on that same list, and this might be a mental list, I'm not telling you have to keep a physical list with a physical pen and paper, but maybe just a mental list, says here's one thing about heaven that I'm ready for right now. And with everything that's going on around us, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures, my hope is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. May God help us to not become so discouraged by what's happening around us that we take our sights off of that hope and we allow our tanks to be drained by the circumstances of this life. But instead, just to think one day, one thing a day, here's what I can't wait for heaven for, and I'm ready for it right now. God wants our tanks to be full. And with His help, with God's help, and with some personal effort on our part, not just God's help, but with His help and some personal effort on our parts, every day, we can run full. And as we close today, I want you to think about these words that we've studied today. And I want you to think about some verses that go along with these words and some expressions that I think are absolutely amazing. Some expressions that are used in these verses where God shows us He doesn't want us running on mid-level. He doesn't want us running on a half tank of joy, peace, or hope. He's not wanting us to run on empty. He wants us to run on full. And I want you to look at some of these words that are used and say, this is what God wants me to have. What kind of joy does what He, well, He wants me to be full? 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says, God wants me to have a joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. The joy He wants me to have is a joy I can't even explain to somebody else. I can try. I can try to tell you what it's like, but the joy I have as a Christian is so good, I just can't. There's not enough words in the human language to describe it. That's how full, that's how great the joy is that God wants us to have. How great is the peace of God? When it's running on full, it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. I've got a joy that's so great, I can't explain it. I've got a peace that's so great, I can't even fathom it. It's beyond anything I can even think about. It surpasses all understanding. When I put my trust in God, when I communicate with Him and I trust Him, I can have a peace that runs on full and I can't even understand it. What kind of hope does God want me to have? God wants me to have that hope that is sure and steadfast like an anchor that God has set. How firm is an anchor that God sets? It is both sure and steadfast. And where is it? Where is that anchor, Hebrews chapter 6? It has entered behind the veil. That anchor that God has set for me, it has entered behind the veil. Well, how did it get there? My forerunner, Jesus, took the anchor behind the veil for me into the presence of God so that it's sure and steadfast right there for me. That's what God wants me to have. Brother and sister in Christ, let's not allow the world, let's not allow Satan to drain us of the joy and peace and hope that God wants us to have. But let's turn to our God and let Him be our tank filler-upper and to be full as Christians, not just getting by, not just barely making it, but thankful to Him for all the ways that He blesses us. I don't know where you are in your life with the Lord today, but as you think about your relationship with the Lord today, God wants you to be running on full forgiveness. Not half forgiveness, not most forgiveness. God wants you to have full forgiveness today. That only takes place through the blood of Jesus. That only takes place through obedience to His Word. That only takes place when a believer who has a penitent heart confesses their faith in Jesus and is baptized for the remission of their sins. The blood of Jesus forgives every single one of their sins. They come up out of the waters of baptism with full forgiveness. At that point in their lives, able to have full joy, full peace, and full hope. And God calls upon us to walk faithfully with Him. And if we stumble and if we fall, if we stray away to confess our sins, to walk back in His direction? In the same blood of Jesus, when we confess our sins, we'll wash away those sins so that once again we've got full forgiveness, full joy, full peace, full hope. If that's not where you are today, if you need to make that right, we would encourage you to reach out. If you need to be baptized today, find somebody who will baptize you today. If you need to confess your sins to God, you stop even at this moment. Say, God, I need to get back right with you. Thanks be to God that even in times when we think, you know, I'm kind of running on empty, that God has given us a way to run on full.